Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Is night prayer included in voluntary prayer? Is night prayer included? Yes. And that is why the hadith clearly states that he used to offer witr on his camel. And it's very sad that this is a sunnah that a lot of the Muslims don't do. I travel, and sometimes I travel at night, and I don't watch or see anyone who is offering witr or is offering night prayer on his seat to wherever the plane is taking him. Not only that, I've traveled and so many times on airplanes that the majority of the passengers are Muslims. We see the break of dawn, we see the daylight, we see the sunrise, and only one or two pray Fajr. And the rest are either asleep or just looking around, not knowing what to do. Why is that? A lot of the Muslims think that as long as they're traveling, they have the permission to delay prayers or to pray them when they reach and arrive. And this is completely wrong. If the prayer can be joined to something similar to it, like Asr and Dhuhr, or Isha and Maghrib, this is permissible to pray and join and combine. But if it's something like Fajr, if it's something like Isha, khalas, time of Maghrib is over and Isha is about to finish, you have to pray it no matter what happens. We have hadith 68, but before we go to the hadith, do we have any questions? So we have enough questions, inshallah. Yes, brother.
Sheikh, since this is a hadith on traveling, what is the distance from which the shortening of the prayer starts?
That's a good question. What is the distance that we would consider to be permissible for us to shorten prayer and to break our fast if we're fasting because we are taking the ruling of a traveler? It's an issue of dispute among scholars, but the most authentic opinion, and this is the choice of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh Nasir, Ad-Din al-Albani, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, may Allah have mercy on their soul, they all said that there is not a prescribed distance, meaning the description that fits you as a traveler is sufficient. So if you travel and people call your house and your family say, well, he's not here, he's traveling, then this is sufficient. Even if it's 100 kilometers or 50 kilometers, it's from one city to the other, then this is considered to be traveling. And that is why scholars say that if I'm traveling to another city, the minute I leave the borders of my city, I immediately take the ruling of a traveler. I shorten prayers, I combine. Even if I am about a kilometer out of the border, 1 kilometer, because I am on my journey, I've started. The destination is regardless, it's not of importance. The most important thing that it is considered to be a traveling destination to my city. So if I'm in Bombay, for example, if I tell someone I'm leaving to Delhi, everybody will say that he is traveling. If I'm in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and I say I'm going to Riyadh, everybody says this is traveling. But if the two cities are so close to the extent that the population consider it to be a one city, not traveling, then you may not take the excuse of traveling. For example, Jeddah people, when they go to Mecca, they do not shorten prayer, although it's about 85 kilometers. Why? Because we work in Mecca, and we may go to Mecca twice a day, and we do not consider it to be traveling. We consider Jeddah to be part of the suburbs of Mecca. So the people of Jeddah don't travel to Mecca.
What is the meaning of established prayer?
So you're asking about what is the meaning of establishing prayer, or in Arabic, wa aqimu salat. To establish prayer is to call for it, to prepare for it, and to gather for it, and to pray it on time as prescribed. So it's not pray. You have to establish the prayer because it's a constitution. It is composed of performing ablution, praying it on time, and in the location that were prescribed to us by the Prophet ﷺ, which are the masjids. And not only that, if someone prays without a soul, he's just doing these actions without having the soul of the prayer, the khushu', the submissiveness, the contemplation, the concentration, then he would not be considered to have established prayer. You have to have all of this, and it's not an easy thing to do. Yes, Muhammad Aman.
Regarding traveling, as you said that if we don't know the Qibla, we can be exempted if we don't face the Qibla, while maybe in a plane. But usually in a train, what happens? For example, if we can face the Qibla, but we cannot maintain. Do the Qiyam. We cannot do the Qiyam in the direction of the Qibla. But on the other hand, we can do the Qiyam and proper sujood, but not facing the Qibla. So which one to choose? Because we have, you know, sleeper class. We can sit and we can even prostrate towards the Qibla. But on the other hand, we can stand and do sujood, but it's not in the direction of the Qibla. So which one to choose?
Whenever there is a contradiction between a condition and the pillar always comes first. So if you have the ability to face the Qibla, but unable to stand, yet in a different location, you can stand, but you may not face the Qibla. The pillar of the prayer, which is connected to the prayer, is far superior than the conditions that come. Faisal.
If a person, he leaves from his hometown for a journey, now he is considered to be traveling. And if he reaches his destination, I've seen many people that they still consider it to be as traveling. They say that we are on safar.
The question is obvious. If I'm going back to my home city, as long as I did not reach the borders of my home city, I'm considered to be traveling. So I can do everything that a traveler does. Once I reach the borders of my city, I'm not a traveler anymore. So I have to pray the prayers complete, not shortened. Yet the combining depends. If I am reaching my city after Isha, and I did not pray Maghrib because I was traveling, I will do combining of Maghrib to Isha, but I will pray Isha full as 4 rak'ahs. However, another scenario is, I'm going to my hometown. On the way, Maghrib is called, and I know that after half an hour, I will reach my hometown. So I decided to pray Maghrib and combine Isha, 2 rak'ahs to it. Is this permissible? Yes, it is permissible. I would reach my hometown before the Adhan of Isha. The Adhan of Isha is called, I'm not supposed to go and pray because I prayed, alhamdulillah, and this does the job, inshallah.
Sheikh, as you said that for Qasr, we have to have some sharait. Sir, you have to be a traveler. But for Jama'ah, do we have any reason?
The conditions for joining prayer is the necessity. For a traveler, he can join prayers whenever he wishes, though it is recommended that he prays on time. For a residing person, there is a permission to join prayers when in necessity. So a doctor, a surgeon, is going to do an operation. He is going to operate after Dhuhr, but he knows that he would not finish except after Maghrib. So when he prays Dhuhr 4 rak'ahs, he adds to it 4 rak'ahs of Asr. This is permissible. A person undergoes an exam that comes once a year, and there is no possibility of him coming out. So they tell him, you have to stay. He cannot pray Maghrib and Isha. So we tell him it's okay because it's an emergency. It's once a year. You pray Maghrib with Isha at the time of Isha, but you pray them complete. Likewise, in cases of rain, in cases of snow, you join Dhuhr and Asr. You also join Maghrib and Isha. Yes, brother.
Sheikh, like we are living in a non-Muslim country, and there is a possibility that there may come a rule that we may not offer salah in our masjids. Like in France, there's likely a possibility that they may cancel the salah in masjid. If people offer salah in their home, so what do you say that, like, salah is established or not?
If there were to be a hypothetical law preventing you from establishing prayer and praying with the congregation, and I very rarely think that this is possible anywhere in the world. But if hypothetical this were to happen, you have to migrate. Because one of the conditions of living in a non-Muslim country is that you are able to establish your deen. You're able to establish your prayer. You're able to establish eating halal food. Your wife is able to maintain her hijab. And you are able to practice deen without any pressure or harassment. So if you were to be banned from praying in the masjid, what else? What deen remains for you? You have to migrate and leave the country. The brother.
Assalamu alaikum. This is like regarding traveling in the train. Suppose I offer a salah, like standing in the train, and if the train is moving, chances are there I can topple and I can hurt myself or a person down below. So is it like there is any scope to sit and pray, or should I skip the prayer, or should I like continue?
Skipping the prayer is out of the question completely. You have to pray on time. The alternative would be if there is probable cause of fear. Yani it's not something that it is a possibility. No, you know. By the train, or by if you're on sailing on a boat in a storm and you insist on praying on the deck and you know that you may fall and drown, or on a train that you may fall and hurt someone, hurt yourself. In this condition, these are condition of fear, you may pray sitting down without any problem, inshallah. Yes, the last brother there on the corner.
Sheikh, for how many days can a traveler shorten his salah?
That's a good question. How many days does a traveler is permitted to shorten prayer and to take all the excuses and the rukhas of traveling? Scholars differ. Some say that if he intends to stay for more than 4 nights and 4 days, he must complete. Others say 11, others say 19. And the most authentic opinion is there is no limit at all. As long as you're traveling, you're considered to be traveling, you may shorten prayer. But the minute you reside, so if someone like me, if I go abroad for a week or two or three or four, I'm considered to be a traveler. The minute I decide to reside and I get myself an apartment and furnish it, and I know the times of prayers and I know how to travel and communicate, I have to complete. But as long as I'm still traveling and I'm unsettled, I'm not settled, then I should deal with these things as a traveler. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.